Future Mustangs, welcome to the Beyond the Nuts and Bolts podcast with me, your happy-go-lucky Irish host, Phil Hawley. In today's podcast called Unlocking Success, Insider Advice for Ontario High School Applicants, I sit down with my guest today, Paddy Guzzo, our recruitment manager within the Faculty of Engineering. As Western Engineering's recruitment manager, she delves into her role and shares insights into a student's application journey and expresses her genuine love for Western Engineering and its students. This episode is filled with laughter, and we trust that you will find joy in getting to know one of the essential members of our community. But before we get into today's podcast, I need to plug a few things. Today's podcast is sponsored by Da Vinci Cafe. This cafe opened its doors in the Spencer Engineering Building to our students in September 2019 and offers a wide variety of drinks and food options. If you're after a fast, healthy, and convenient place to eat, then look no further. Additionally, if you have any questions about what we've discussed today in today's podcast, please feel free to reach out at futurewe@uw.ca. But for now, let's dive into the nitty-gritty. Paddy, welcome back to the Beyond the Nuts and Bolts podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. Let's get stuck in. So first and foremost, for our listeners, I thought it would be intriguing for them to know what inspired you to join Western Engineering's recruitment team.
Hi, Phil, and thanks very much for having me. I think if I was to look back, it would be a combination of both my personal and professional experience, coupled with a passion for education and a strong desire to make an impact on the lives of students. The idea or the notion of helping students navigate their academic journey and career decisions, which are also coupled together, is incredibly rewarding, especially when you may have spoken to a particular student months ago, and as you're walking through the hallways of the buildings, they pull you aside or they stick their head in your door to say, "Hey, I'm here, and this is what, you know, my experience has been thus far." It really is a rewarding experience. I often feel for students today as in many ways, but in some ways, like, our educational choices are truly limitless. And with offerings to suit diverse interests, to diverse goals, different learning styles. So it's a lot for a student to consider. So helping a prospective student craft that journey that aligns with their aspirations is incredibly rewarding. I would think lastly, the notion of this particular opportunity was that the role itself was, I can't say it was new, but the word would be underdeveloped. So the notion of shaping recruitment strategies, advocating for underrepresented groups, and building programs that attract top talent was exciting. And it was something I wanted to be a part of.
That's incredible. Thanks so much for sharing. And I can certainly attest to the absolutely sensational students we managed to recruit here in the Faculty of Engineering. I have the pleasure of working with many of them. For those listening on today's podcast, just know I know who you are. But without further ado, another question I had for you was, can you walk us through the typical journey of a high school student applying to Western Engineering? For those of you who have already gathered, you can probably tell I'm not originally from Canada, so this was news to even me. So there may be also parents listening to this podcast wondering what that journey looks like. Is there even such a thing as a typical journey? But anyway, go for it.
With respect to, I would say, students within Ontario, there is a relatively typical journey in terms of applying. But just to pull back from that for a moment, I would encourage students in their quest to pursue post-secondary education is to attend one of the either OUF, which happens, well, definitely OUF, which happens typically in the fall of the year, early in the fall in Toronto, where all the universities join or at the Metro Toronto Convention Centre, and you have an opportunity to go around and understand the various programs and whatnot about those institutions. So I would highly encourage students to do that. And similarly, if a student has an opportunity, as they start to narrow it down, as they start to think of, you know, areas that they want, that they believe they want to study, or areas in which they wish to live, or whether it's going to be a large urban or a smaller, you know, a city-like area, visit those campuses, attend their open houses or their spring or fall, because I think that's really important for a student to start to see themselves within that atmosphere or within that campus. Now, aside from that, of course, in September, the Ontario University's Application Center, which otherwise known as OUAC, opens. And I would say it's generally around mid to late September. And this is the center in which you would go in, you would create yourself an account, and then you would begin to select the institutions and their various programs to which you wish to apply. It's an online system. It has all the universities and all their programs. And you can read up on all the different various programs. But also what's important is many institutions will have a supplementary form or essay or assessment. And so those types of things are items you want to pay attention to, because they may have a different due date. You have when I mentioned the OUAC opens in September, it will close come mid-January, usually typically around the 15th of January. But your supplementary applications may not be due to, say, February. So it's important to, you know, perhaps keep a list of the various institutions, the programs, what those various programs require, and then what the due dates are of them, so that you can be certain to meet those deadlines. Also, it's very important to know what are the requirements to come into any program. And it's important to know that, I would say, long before your grade 12 year. It might be advantageous, not that you have to decide on what you want to do, but just start to understand where your interests are and what you enjoy doing. And then look at the institutions that might offer those programs and what the requirements are. Because when you apply at OUAC and you start that application, whatever time of year that might be, they may open in September, you may apply, I don't know, in December, you're still applying with grade 11 grades. So it's important to understand that they matter. And knowing this information ahead of time eases some of the anxiety students might have if they start to look at something and say, oh my goodness, I didn't have the grade in said course to move forward with that. So I would encourage students to start thinking about it in around grade 10, not making any hard decisions, but just start to think about it. And then, yes, you would typically go through the OUAC application to apply to the various institutions.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I can certainly attest to that as a student. I went to my top pick of, well, in terms of the university I was interested in attending, and actually visited it and actually hated it. It will remain nameless. I just instantly knew it wasn't the place for me. However, when I went to and chose the university I ended up going to, which is actually in the UK, as soon as I stepped on the campus, I just had a sense that this was exactly the place I was supposed to be. So alongside those courses, you are right in that you will get a sense and feel for whether it's a good fit for you and it's the sort of community that you would like to be a part of. So moving on, how does Western Engineering support high school students in their transition to university life? And maybe how could you ease some of the concerns that maybe parents listening to today's podcast might have?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And as a parent, I understand those concerns. Take opportunity and visit the campus. Familiarize yourself as much as you can with that campus through those various spring open houses, fall preview days, whatever they might be, as I mentioned earlier. But I would say one thing that is very unique, and it's unique to Western, is our common first year. And what is so nice about that is there's a number of things. One, students don't have to worry about building their or choosing their courses in August prior to entry. That is all done for them, as they're all going to come into this common first year with their colleagues. It is a great opportunity to build those social connections, which we know are so incredibly important. But and it makes it somewhat easier because you're moving through the various courses with the same people. So it really helps you build those connections early out of the gate. It also, what we find is so incredibly interesting is that students might say, well, I'm really interested in civil. And they come in and they have an opportunity in this common first year to get a taste of a little bit of everything. And not only that, they also get a taste of or an opportunity to speak to upperclassmen or women. And they get a chance to speak with faculty or TAs or whatever the situation, their academic advisor. It could be any number of one of individuals. And then they recognize that their interest actually isn't civil, but their interest might be chemical or might be mechanical. And what we find is many students, although they may select what they believe their interest is at the time during the OUAC application, when it comes time to declare their actual major, it often changes. And that's just because they've had an opportunity to experience a little bit of it all. And so the common first year is really, I think, is a nice way to segue from high school into university and not having to worry about choosing all those courses and getting it right out of the gate. Another initiative that was new this year was something that our undergraduate services team put together, and they're a great, mighty team, but they put together what they call Western Launch. And it's a series of modules designed to guide incoming students through a seamless transition to university life. So it keeps track of important deadlines during the summer and into the early fall. It helps the students navigate Western's diverse departments. It gives them insider tips to things that might be happening in and around campus or within the engineering buildings. And they're packed with essential information in one accessible place. And as an incoming student, you'll be automatically added. It's not something you've got to seek to find or sign up for. You'll be automatically added to the program and you'll receive monthly notifications. So I would definitely encourage students to look through that. I think another thing that helps them transition is also early in the fall, before grades, or not so much grades, but the work level begins to rise. The various teams will host welcome events. So we've had a meet and greet with the faculty in early, mid-September. There's, I believe, a Women in Engineering Club hosts a brunch for all their new incomers. We have a games night. There's an international welcome event. There's an Indigenous welcome event. And so I think a lot of these, in addition to a dedicated academic advisor for first year, are all tools and resources that are provided to first year students to help ease that transition as best possible.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. One thing I like to say to students as well is that those transitioning, particularly from grade 12 into their first year of university, and one of the joys of having your first year timetable prescribed to you means that when some of your friends are maybe up at 5 a.m. in the morning trying to select certain courses and get into the classes they want to, maybe with some of their friends, you will be chilling in bed because your turntable is prescribed to you. So don't say we don't treat you here in Western Engineering. We have got you covered. So for those on or listening to today's podcast, what advice would you give to an Ontario high school student who's considering Western Engineering? We've touched on some of them. And I think part of, you also touched on it in one of the previous questions where you talked about the supplementary assessment. And I guess before going into the question itself, can you just speak to when exactly a student should take the CASPER assessment? Should they complete their application and then do it, or can they do it beforehand?
Yeah. Okay. So in answer to that last question, in terms of Western Engineering supplementary profile, it is the CASPER assessment. What I would recommend is you might start your OUAC application, but you may not have finished it yet. You may not have submitted, and that's okay. But when you start it, you'll be given an OUAC identifier number. you, the moment you start that and you receive that number, you can then write your CASPER assessment. You don't have to wait till your application is complete, but that number is important, which you're given right out of the gate. And I would also recommend for students to get it done and get it out of the way. It is not something that you study for. What you need is a really strong internet, a quiet space, and a large glass of water or lemonade. It is something, it is getting at your ability to work with others, your ability to collaborate, your ability to communicate, your ability perhaps to lead or not to lead, your ability to problem solve. What the reason we've done this is, while yes, we could have a form that or an essay question that asks you to complete or to tell us all about these types of experiences that led to these competencies, in today's day, with the advent of AI, we don't know if you wrote that. And it's not so much, and in actuality, it's not even so much that you write it, but rather how you would respond in certain situations that are going to distill down and tell us how you effectively collaborate, work with others, solve problems, etc. And that assessment is simply that. It is a situational judgment assessment. So it puts you in a situation and then it gives you, I'll say 5 to 7 multiple choice as to how you would respond. It is also multimodal, such that if you wish to voice your answer versus actually checking it off, there are times when they will give you that opportunity and say, you know, in 30 seconds or 60 seconds, the camera will come on and just simply tell us how you would respond to this situation. So that is what the CASPER assessment's about. But as I said, I would encourage students to write that right. Don't leave it hanging. Just get it done and over with, and you can focus on your academics and your final year in high school. And one more thing is, remember, you don't have to study for this. You can go on our website. It has information all about it. And there will be some sample questions so you can look at that and get a sense of the type of questions you'll be asked.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Definitely check out the Future Students website. It is pertinent to much of the information that you are after. And also the CASPER assessment is also fully accessible. So if you are an individual who has certain access requirements, the QUT website will have outlined services and help that they provide. One of the things that I've personally loved transitioning from my life in Ireland to London, Ontario, is the sense of community that has been fostered amongst our students in particular. It states that my guest today is not sure she totally believes me in my transition to London. I did give up a view of the ocean every day, which I certainly miss, but the sense of community for sure amongst our students is what, alongside the students themselves, is one of my favourite parts of my role. So just out of interest, how do you feel that Western Engineering has fostered a sense of community amongst its students?
Yeah, I would go back to that common first year. As I mentioned, there's that common first year really helps create those social connections, which we all know is so incredibly important. And it's through those connections and even the, I'll say, dare I say it, it's an overused word, but the culture of the group within engineering, the students, while it might be competitive to get into the program, once you're in the program, it's very much about how do we help each other so that we all succeed. And that common first year starts those bonds. And then there's many things within the programs. I mean, some programs, depending on the content and how it is organized, many have learning teams where you work with various different groups on various different projects, sometimes taking the lead, sometimes having to pull back and let somebody else take the lead. But whatever it is, there are opportunities where you're working again in a team to achieve a common objective. There are various clubs and teams within the Faculty of Engineering, which I would encourage every student to get involved in one or the other, because the program itself is rigorous, but you have to have an out. So for your own mental well-being, you want to ensure you're part of something where you can just go and be yourself and perhaps apply what you've learned or learn from others, because you'll be perhaps in clubs with individuals from different programs within engineering and individuals, upperclassmen and women who, you know, may have a year or two under the belt and can share some of their experiences and learnings thus far. But I really find that that common first year is what sets that groundwork for that that culture of team, and that we win as a team and we fail as a team, but there really is that culture of let's work together so that we all succeed. Now, I wanted to go back, Phil, because you mentioned to me what advice I would give to the Ontario high school student considering engineering. And yes, we talked about the CASPER, but if it's at all possible, and I know it isn't for everyone, but if it's at all possible, I would visit campus. When I walk the halls of the university and I might say to a student, you know, what brought you here? Why are you here? They'll often tell me, they'll tell me a number of things, but the one thing that often comes is at the top, within the top three, is I came to campus, whether it was for those open houses or whether they reached out to the recruitment team and said, you know, is it possible? Can I have a tour? Can I come speak to a faculty? Can I speak to some fellow students? Or then, but having come to campus, they really did. They saw themselves within the campus and they were excited and couldn't wait to join. So I would really encourage students wherever possible. And if not, because that's definitely a you know, it's not something that everybody can do. There's virtual tours that I would encourage people to use online. And if you would like, reach out to the recruitment coordinators. That's what they're here for. They will, you can have a one-on-one video call. If mom and dad want to get in the background or your guardians or whomever, and they want to be there to hear those questions or have questions of their own, then they're there to, you know, they're there to help you make your most informed decision. And I would, yeah, if you can, if the recruitment team's happens to host an information session, join in. Even if you think, well, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what I want to ask. That's okay. You don't have to have a definite question, but it's interesting to hear other students ask questions, because then you start to think, oh, I didn't think of that. Oh, that's important. And then that starts you thinking, and it might start to distill down what questions you want to ask and what's important to you. And lastly, the one thing I would say about students considering Western Engineering or any program for post-secondary, know that grade 11 matters. Because as I said, when you apply through OUAC, whatever program it is, you're applying with your grade 11 grades. No decisions are necessarily made there, but the story begins. So I would truly encourage students to, like I said, come to campus. Start to think about it in grade 10. Know that grade 11 matters. And join the virtual sessions whenever and wherever you can.
That's awesome. Going back to one of the points you talked about earlier, you mentioned about the clubs, teams, and groups. And so one of the things that I'm most proud of is that whilst we have one of the most academically rigorous programs on campus, we actually have one of the most actively engaged student bodies on campus. And so if you want to join a club that doesn't, that Patty kind of touched upon, if you want to join a club, group, or team that doesn't necessarily pertain to your specific engineering discipline, you can do that. So for example, the Western Engineering Concrete Canoe Team would lend itself more towards the likes of our civil engineering students. However, students from a variety of programs enroll or join that club, group, or team. What's interesting, at least for me, is I never thought I'd hear the day of concrete and canoe going hand in hand with one another, but there we go. And I've heard some interesting thoughts on what would actually make it float, but you will have to come and visit us to find out how it actually works. So as we come towards the end of our podcast, just got a few final things I'd like to explore with you, Patty, and the sort of one of them is, how do you stay up to date on the latest trends and changes in the Ontario high school education landscape? And probably for my own sake as well, how do you not get overwhelmed by it?
Yes, there's a lot of information. My go-to would be the Ontario Ministry of Education. That's where it's going to have the latest information. OUAC, the Ontario, University Application Center, it itself and its website can be incredibly informative. I think from that, I myself am a teacher, so I can, if I so inclined, I can go to the Ontario College of Teachers to see what's new in that regard. And I think in terms of the latest trends, the only other site that I may look at, yeah, it might be more CBC. If there's any news platforms, CBC or national, just to understand what might be, if there's something new that's coming, a decision that's coming down, then I would likely turn to the Ontario Ministry of Education to understand more. But those, I would say, are my primary resource. You can always follow certain social media, but I often say you've got to be cautious of to what that is. Yeah, I would often look to the Ontario provincial government or the Ontario government websites for update information.
That is wonderful. Thanks so much. So finally, I'm just interested to know what initiatives we maybe have coming up or in the very near future that students who are listening to this podcast could get involved with, or what sort of things do we run? I know you've mentioned some of them. We run the Like to Fall Preview Day and Spring Open House, but what other initiatives do we run?
Yeah, sure. There's a number of them. So, of course, we just recently had Fall Preview Day. We will have a Spring Open House in March. We offer a number, in the new year, we'll offer a number of virtual sessions. Some will be about outlining the program and the faculty overview. Others will be tools for success, where we'll bring in members from the careers team, the undergraduate services team, our wellness counselor, many of the different resources that you have available. We're cognizant of the various PD days that happen in the new year, closer to from about March onwards, because we're cognizant of the weather. But we'll often try to find those that have the greatest impact or the most amount of school boards and offer what we call insider tours, where we will go out and we will let the schools know and that we're hosting these tours. And if you're interested, to please register and sign up. Those insider tours often include a visit with some of our student ambassadors, where you can learn from their storied experience, and also the departments. If you say to us, I'm interested in civil, then we'll do our best to find a first year civil professor that can speak to you about some of the programming. Let me just think. We have Zoom sessions, virtual tours, insider tours. You also have, like, as I mentioned earlier, anytime you want to speak with a recruitment coordinator or book a virtual call, that is, you can reach out through the email to do both, and they'll send you the link in which to book the virtual call. We also will have sessions with some of our more, I wouldn't say more prominent, but some of the clubs, more or less the University Engineering Society, which covers all students within the Faculty of Engineering. And we'll also have a session for women in engineering. And I would actively encourage students to participate in any of those.
That is wonderful. That is good news for those of you who do not like writing emails. We do offer the likes of a virtual call. If you prefer to call and not see me, I will not take it personally. And we can also provide you with our numbers as recruitment coordinators. So I hope you find today's episode helpful. I'd like to thank our guest, Patty Guzzo, for joining me today. Be sure to check out more episodes at www.eng.uwu.ca/future-students. If you have any thoughts on today's episode or topics that you'd like us to touch upon in the future, feel free to email me at futurewe@uwu.ca. Thanks again, Pai. It's a privilege to work with you. And I hope that we collectively get to meet each and every one of you. And we'll see you next week. Cue that music.